Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
To Proverbs 4 and 23, if you will, we're just going to be looking at just for a few minutes this morning. And in consideration of what time it is, I anticipated every part of this today. And so I want to just draw your attention to Proverbs 4:23, and for these next few minutes, and a couple of other passages of Scripture. Proverbs 4:23 is a very familiar Scripture to many readers of the Bible. But Proverbs 4:23, here it is on the screen, if you will. Read it out loud with me. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Let's say that again. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. I want to talk to you just for a few minutes on spiritual enclosures. Spiritual enclosures. 20 years ago, in January of 2003, I think, it could have been, it was around that period of time anyway, I first read about this. In the Sequoia National Park in California, of course, there's these giant trees known as the Sequoia trees. We often think of the giant redwoods and the sequoias. Well, these sequoia trees will grow to well over 200 feet tall. Some have been known to go nearly 300 feet tall. And these are just huge, majestic trees. There were two trees that were considered to be some of the oldest trees that fell at one particular time. They found them where they had fallen, and that was very unusual to see that. Well, the Sequoia National Park attracts millions of visitors every year. And those who study the arborists and those who study the conservation and the trees and the forestry, they studied what was perhaps happening, and they wanted to make sure this did not happen over and over. And what they found in their study was that there was so much foot traffic in and around certain particular trees that it was impacting negatively the foundation or the root system of those trees. Not only that, some of them, even the car traffic through particular areas was impacting these trees. But some of the more what they considered the more historical trees that they considered to be the oldest, they started thinking, how can we protect them? And they started putting fencing or enclosures around some of them to protect them. But there are some things that concerning these enclosures to protect these trees and the root system that I think that we need to consider in our own life. Because when we think about spiritual growth and development in our walk with the Lord, it's our root system, our foundation, that is what's most important. And too often the foot traffic, the busyness of this life, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and things of this world, the mundane, the routine, the everyday, the difficulties, the ups and the downs, of life. They cause a lot of traffic in our life, and thus we need to consider how we're going to protect the root system of our life, the foundation of our life. And let me just say to you that the Word of God is the root system of your life. This is how your roots become strong and are and continue to be strong, is the Word of God and it being inside of your life. The Scripture says that if you'll hide His Word in your heart, He said, hide it in your heart that you won't sin against Me. And so the Word of God is so important. We cannot emphasize it enough. If we're going to grow spiritually, the Word of God has got to be a preeminent aspect of our life as we follow Jesus Christ. Keep in mind, it's about following Jesus. Jesus is the object of our foundation. And Jesus, according to John chapter 1, is the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We've been given the Word of God, the written Word of God, but the Word Himself is Jesus Christ. And so we need the Word in our life. And so this is all, it goes hand in hand, having a relationship with Jesus and His written Word. So I want to speak to that. Now, the Word of God has had such an impact upon my life from home, Bible stories that were read in our home and scriptures read in our home, things that I learned as a child and throughout my life. I remember in particular at 14 years old when I got right with Jesus and was soundly saved, born again, there was a particular scripture, and I want you to put it up there for me now, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. This was a passage of scripture here that was just, I could not get it off my mind. I remember laying in my bed at night, and I would quote this in my, as it was a scripture, a word that came to me in the earliest days of my walk with the Lord. And so it said, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This right here said, I just remember just thinking about it over and over. I'm not my own. I don't belong to myself. I belong to God. He bought me with a price. That's what this scripture says. And so, but I need to make sure that I take care of what belongs to God. And so when I came into relationship with Jesus, it was then that I was the temple of the Holy Spirit, because God dwelled within me through His Holy Spirit. Jesus was in me through His Holy Spirit. I was bought with a price. The Word of God. The Word of God. I think about even before that, just growing up in church, without ever coming to really understanding fully what I about all the implications of being born again. I remember in Royal Rangers memorizing Psalm 23 at 6 years old, and it's become more precious to me all through the years. I've not let up on it at all. I quote it regularly just because it was one of the first things that ever just grabbed hold of my attention, even before I really come to a full understanding and knowledge of who Jesus was and acceptance of Him fully. It made such a difference in my life. When I went to college, and there was a scripture that stood out to me during those days, and in Colossians 3:17 says this, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Colossians 3:17 is what I would say is my life verse. That's a verse of scripture that comes to my mind over and over again. It's God has used that in my life to consider my words and my deeds And can I do that in the name of Jesus? If I can't do it in the name of Jesus, I probably don't need to be doing it. That's just my simple way of applying the scriptures. I want to say, well, and so the Holy Spirit has to check me and sometimes correct me. He has to bring me into line, and He uses this scripture over and over to do that in my life. But it's His Word. His Word is for everybody. But what I'm sharing with you is how God has intimately used His scripture in my life, and certain scriptures have really come close to me. And different people in this room, you could say the same things about various scriptures that have made an incredible impact upon your life. I want you to look for just a moment at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. We have the story here in Luke chapter 10, going to verse 38, very familiar passage of scripture. I just want to read these verses. Luke 10, 28. 38, rather. Thank you for that. I did hear you. Luke 10, 38. It said, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her.'" Now, one of the things we learn from Scripture is that this is a family that was very dear to Jesus. There was Lazarus and Mary and Martha. They were siblings. Here it says, no mention of Lazarus here, but it says that Jesus has been invited into their home. Martha, it appears that Martha has invited him into their home. Can you imagine? I mean, this is just one of the incredible things of life. The Son of God was dining in their home, come to visit with them. Well, it doesn't take long here for something to happen. Martha, who is no doubt maybe cooking, fixing something, something to bring refreshment to Jesus, some food. Maybe we don't know what all is going on. But it wasn't but just a little bit here that Martha became frustrated that her sister Mary was sitting down in the living room talking to Jesus and wasn't helping her at all. You can just see it unfold. In fact, she seems to be frustrated with not only Mary, but Jesus himself. And she's saying, "Jesus, you are you okay with this? I'm scurrying around trying to do all the things I need to do and get this work done. My sister and you are just sitting up in there." I don't know. It just seems a little bit of an attitude with not only her sister, but with Jesus. Jesus says, "Martha, Martha." This one, anytime you say somebody's name twice, you're shaking your head with it. "Martha, Martha." Because I've heard that many times. "Stephen, Stephen." It never was "Stephen, Stephen." You know what I'm saying? It's this. "Martha, Martha. Martha, Martha, you're troubled about many things here." The word here, I want you to see, King James says worried and troubled. But in the original language is this word distracted. You're distracted. And the word distracted means to pull apart. You're being pulled apart by many things. You've been pulled apart. You're like a rag doll. You're stretched in every direction. You are consumed with busyness and distracted. You're being pulled in every direction. But your sister Mary has chosen the good part. She's chosen the right part. And that is not to miss out on the presence of Jesus. Now, in these few moments this morning to share with you, it's so important for us to do this one thing that is needed. And this one thing that is needed is spending time with God. Not just at church when we prepare. This is important. Don't forsake this part of it. Everything I'm saying is not to do away with one and start something else. No, this is important. The body of Christ coming together and worshiping together and growing and being shepherded and also the various relationships and fellowship that we have one with another so that we can pray one for another, bear one another's burdens, love one another, forgive one another. All of these things are so important in our coming together with believers. But I cannot emphasize to you enough how important it is to do this one thing, and that is on a daily basis get alone with God in His Word and in prayer to commune with the Father. Much of the maladies that go on in the church world and the difficulties that we face as Christians is neglecting His Word on Monday through Saturday. And a lot of times we wonder why is this, you know, we wonder about all the things we go through. Listen, life is full of trouble. But I want to tell you, we don't need to be weak and malnourished, and we need to be strengthened every day by and through the Word of the living God. And there's the only way to do that is to do this one thing that is needed, and it is to sit down with Jesus. And today, in thinking about the story of the sequoia trees, we're going to have to guard ourselves. We're going to have to guard the foundation, the root system of our spiritual life. What I mean by that is we're going to have to set aside some time in our daily life for Him, and we're going to have to guard it. When He says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life, you've got to guard the time in your life that you spend with Him. You've got to guard that time sitting at Jesus' feet that Mary was prioritizing when Jesus was in the house. And I want to tell you, Jesus wants to be the priority of your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All the other stuff's going to take care of itself when you put Him first. But when you don't put Him first, other stuff starts pulling you every direction. You get distracted and you'll get weak spiritually. And before you know it, you're busy about the wrong stuff. And I want to tell you what, we can even be busy in stuff that is spiritual. But we got to make sure that Jesus is first and foremost. And that we are being strengthened in the true spiritual things of God. And not just busyness in religiosity, but that our spirit man would be growing. So let us guard, because the foot traffic is heavy in the day in which we live. The foot traffic is so heavy that if you're not careful, you'll rush out of the house, you'll rush to bed, you'll rush to mealtime, you'll rush to spend a moment with your spouse, you'll rush to family time. But that's how my life is. I'm rushing to the ball field to here. But I want to tell you, we've got to decide what is the priority of my life before the ball field, before the golf course, before hunting, before the ball game, before the television, before this, before that. It's got to be Jesus. It's got to be Him. If not, the foot traffic has eat up the root system of my life. Well, this is where this comes in right here. This is where this comes in. We wanted to give you this to help you. Everybody's different. If you don't use this, it doesn't mean that you're not walking with the Lord. Don't misunderstand me. But this is a great tool to use. and we wanted to provide this for you today. If for some reason you have another system and you don't want to use this, put this in somebody's hand that will use this. Somebody in your family, somebody, a friend that you could use it. But I want to encourage you. Now, in here is a strategy I'm coming to the close in just a moment, so just stick with me a minute more. If you'll turn to every page, I mean, it's got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We've got, this happens to be, you can put the date in, this is Wednesday and this is Thursday. And as you'll look down in the blue sections, it has scripture, observation, application, and then prayer. So how are we going to guard the root system of our life? One of the ways that we can do that, in a way that I want to encourage you, is by using this journal. And these words, scripture, observation, application, prayer, are an acrostic that spells SOAP. Psalm 19, verse 9. Let's look at that up here on this scripture. Psalm 19, I think I've got that. I can quote it, if not, Psalm 19, 9. Well, what it says is this: the fear of the Lord is clean. You and I are to, I think it's Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation in fear and in trembling. Here in Psalm 19, it's referring to the Word of God in the context of Psalm 19. And you and I are to live out our life in the fear of God. And in the fear of God, you and I are to take hold of the Word of God, and it will be soap to keep us clean. He said, hide my word in your heart that you don't sin against me. And I want to tell you, we live in a world where you and I need to purify ourselves continually, coming before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to be sanctified through the word of God, and through the truth of God, and his word is truth. And so what I want you to do is, it's very important. I don't have any that I'm giving you today, but there are, whether you're using a YouVersion Bible app, there's numerous reading plans that you can use. So if it's a reading plan that you have, and I want to tell you, I believe that you can do this in addition to whatever other plan that you're using, because there's only one page for each day that you would do this. And so what would happen is you'd put your scripture. So I would say, if you're reading, maybe you're reading on a given day, let's just say it's a few chapters or a chapter, or if it's a few paragraphs or whatever it is, whatever really stands out to your heart out of that passage, I want you to take that scripture, write that scripture out, what stands out to you, and then observe it. I mean, we need to observe the context of what is being said. We need to look, maybe read the rest of the chapter around it so we'll understand it, observe it, start thinking about how this thing, what's being said there, and then you'll move to, and then write out under observing, this is what I observe here in this passage. This is what this scripture says. You might be just restating exactly what it says in your own words. It may be as simple as writing out the scripture, restating that scripture under observation in your own words as to what it's saying, and then you go to application. Application is when you say, how can I apply this word to my life? How can I apply this word to my life? And then you write out how you can apply this word to your life. Maybe it's on being devoted to prayer. The scripture is. It says, be devoted to prayer. And then you start saying, okay, this is how I can apply this. I'm going to make sure each day I do this or this to make sure I'm stay devoted in prayer. It's not just something I do from just when I remember to. But you start being intentional. You can't be devoted to something unless you're intentional about it, no matter what it is. And so about application, do we have the James chapter 1, verses 25 through 27? I want you to see this. This is application. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away immediately, forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. It's saying here, if we apply the word of God, we will be blessed in what we do. What we want is God to heap blessing on us and us not do nothing. He wants us just to be obedient. That's all we're talking about. He wants us to be obedient to the word. And his word is challenging. There's some things that are really challenging for sure. And I want us to be, because otherwise it's like looking into a mirror and then immediately if we don't do it, we might can quote the scripture, but if we don't do it, it's still like we don't even know what we look like. It's like knowing, it's like going in the mirror going, my hair is a wreck. I don't have this problem, by the way. My hair is a wreck. And then I leave the mirror and just go on to work. Didn't do nothing about it. He said, that's what it's like when you read the word and you don't do the word. It's like knowing you need to comb your hair and didn't do it. Knowing you need a little makeup and didn't do it. Knowing you had something in your nose and didn't do nothing about it. Knowing you had a little matter in your eye and didn't watch it out. Knowing. Very simple. It's very simple. But that's what applying the word is, being obedient. And then you pray. And all this is saying, sometimes we're not talking about the entire thing, but pray. And you can write out a prayer. Some of the greatest things in life have been, throughout history, the history of the church, have been prayers that have been written by individuals. And this is something you can do. And way beyond, if you establish this pattern, way beyond this book holding all of your daily devotions, you can buy a journal anywhere and you'll have learned soap. And you'll be able to do this without ever having all these reminders to do this. And so this is what we want you to do. Well, the Word of God is wonderful. And the psalmist said this, as you stand with me right now, would you stand with me? The psalmist said this in Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Said, and would you read this with me? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today. And I pray, God, that you would put your hand upon every one of us. And I pray that we would grow spiritually in the name of Jesus Christ. May, Lord, you put it within all of us that we would grow in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only He can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.